Are you ready for a job that gets you more? UPS is hiring now. As a warehouse worker, you'll earn up to $21 per hour, and you might even be eligible for a program that helps you with thousands of dollars for college, in many cases, tuition-free. Search and apply now at upsjobsky.com.
Card Nation, this is Attorney Alex White with SueDistractedDriver.com. Our law firm is a team of dedicated attorneys ready to fight for you. If you get injured because of someone else's negligence, their insurance company already has a legal team, and now so do you. If you or a friend or loved one are injured, find your attorney at SueDistractedDriver.com.
This is an advertisement.
Welcome back. It's Middays with Marcus Maven. 8150-939 is the number. 93.9 is the station. This is a perfect time for me to remind everybody that temperature control is definitely one of the most valuable resources one could have. And if you agree with that sentiment, then DFH Company is the company for you. Simply dial 968-6222. Or you can look them up online at dfhcompany.com. Make sure you look into the Mitsubishi Mini Split, like the ones we use at the 93.9 Studios for that hard-to-heat, hard-to-cool room in your home. Again, 968-6222. Or you can look them up online at dfhcompany.com.
Also, let me remind you, big night tonight. On the stations here, on both stations, we'll have the Cardinals at the Rams, 7:30 on ESPN 680, 105.7. And that will also be on 93.9 The Ville after the Jeff Wall Show, which will be on 93.9 The Ville from 7 to 8. And it's going to be live from Parler downtown on 93.9 The Ville. So check that out. Also, Scotty D Show. Maybe we should start listening to that a little more closely. From 6 to 7 on 93.9 The Ville in the ESPN Louisville app. So after our daily programming from 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. on two different channels, we'll have all that going for you. So you can tune in to all that. So that'll be good.
Okay. So, we got Scott. Scott, thanks for joining us on 93.9. Fire away.
Great show, guys. I listen to you guys daily in between work.
Appreciate it, man.
Took my daughter to the Harlem Go Trotters this weekend, and I just want you to know the Yum Center rims are still allowing dunks. So we might want to let the guys know about that. Marcus, I wanted to get back. I'm a fan. My first memory is the 75 Final Four game against UCLA where we should have won. And watching my dad and my uncle practically have a heart attack in that game. But that's my first memories. And if we'd have won that game, we would have drugged Kentucky in the championship game. But you posted something this weekend, Marcus. It was the 99, the game against Carolina, where you high-fived Teddy. But I had to watch that game because that's what we're doing now. We're watching past games. And I was at it. I was at that game. Remember, the atmosphere was tremendous. But, you know, Marcus, you put the game away right before half with your alley-oop dunk, and I think about 36 seconds later came back with another dunk. They put us up by 15, and North Carolina never recovered. But you talk about offensive flow. You know, McMahon's and Mack should go back and watch some of those games. And pick up some cues because that game was beautiful. I mean, you guys were on fire that night. You would have beat this current team that night by 40, and on your bad nights, you guys would have beat them by 20. But, you know, that's all I wanted to say was, I go back a lot of years, and even Denny in his, you know, as he was declining, who I still think's Denny's still my favorite coach. I always argue. I said his first 15 years was six Final Fours, two national championships, and could have easily won a couple more. It's pretty incredible. And he was a heck of a coach all the way till the end. But even his worst teams were better than what we're seeing right now. But that's all I got to say. I enjoy the show. You guys do a great job. It's my favorite show on here on the lineup, and you guys make me laugh. You guys are super insightful. I mean, I love hearing what you guys have to say after the games, and it's pretty much spot on. But that's all I got. You guys take care.
Appreciate it, Scott.
Appreciate the listen.
And that's how that listen. And we are perfectly okay with calls like that. Let's not get it twisted. We love that, and that's a good way to call in. And Scott, every time we see your name, you can talk for as long as you want.
Here's what's funny about that, and here's like the downfall of man. He gave us 12 compliments.
Yeah.
And all I heard was, well, Denny's first 15 years.
I know. Listen, because I was making the joke in my head. I was like, I was waiting. I was like, go ahead, Scott. Just say it. Just say it. It wasn't really Denny. It was his players.
Yeah. Yeah. Denny's last 4 years, he just, I don't know what changed.
If Denny had recruited some better players there at the end, we'd have.
Yeah. He had Reese.
We'd have been better off.
At least he had Reese.
This is not Reese's fault.
Right?
Yeah. I was gonna say.
Okay, so here's the thing. And this is back to the conversation of the game and the big picture and kind of everything. Okay, so I'm done with the okay, I want to kind of make something clear about the coaching style and the fixes, right? Mm-hmm. Now, when I talked about the bad habits and Jalen getting away with not dunking, like, because I was saying, coach, you say they're casual, you know what I'm saying? That's what casual is, you know? And staying in the game after certain mistakes is what I want to make clear to everybody. Because I know right now the coaches are sitting there listening like, Marcus, you can't just snatch everybody out for every mistake. And I'm like, that's not what I'm saying here today to people. I'm saying there are some mistakes. Some are team mistakes. Like, we can't make this mistake. Anybody on the team make this mistake, you're coming out. And then there's some individual mistakes, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, certain turnovers, okay, L. Ellis going to the basket, jumping in the air, and charging people. Early in the year, we would have put him on the, if you get caught jumping in the air and charging, like he was doing, you know, he had the habit, that once a game thing, like that would be his, you're instantly coming out, you know? Because that's how you change his behavior on that one, right? My Malik not rolling to the basket. You know what I'm saying? Dude, you're coming out. You roll to the basket, then you pop back out and set the screen. You know, you make the defense respect. You know, whatever it is. I'm just coming up with examples. It's like Jalen Withers. That play, that block dunk, you're coming out now. And again, I want Jalen to see how fast I sprint down the bench to snatch him out. And I want the players on the bench to see how fast I run down there to snatch you out the game. That instills a bit of fear / pressure / hyper motivation. Oh my God, Coach Mack is gonna kill Jalen for that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
And the problem is, you know what they do? They look at each other and they say, and listen, this is basketball, y'all. This is not kids. This is not inmates running an asylum. This is not a bunch of demoralized players. You know what they're doing? Hey, man, you think he's going to pull him out? I bet he don't pull him out. That's what they whisper to each other. And listen, they do that at Duke. They do that at Georgetown. They do that at UCLA. Every single team. They do that at Kentucky. I mean, gee, like, you don't have to chronicle how many things you've seen out of Kentucky players that me and Steve have made fun of as far as attitude, you know, attitude issue. This stuff is not, like, these are, don't let narratives be confused with, you're still a basketball player in a Division I level trying to reach your goal. You're still in a savage market. They're on the end of the bench right now when Jalen misses that dunk saying, hey, you think coach going to take him out?
Mm-hmm.
Bet five, you don't bet. They just, you know, just a little funny bet.
They don't seem, and I'm going to use the word scared, but respect is probably the right word. But I hate I hate using like somebody don't respect somebody because I don't know. You know, I think that can be taken wrong, but they don't seem afraid of Coach at all.
Like I think. See, but here's the thing. I think they do, but they feel like they're being picked on, and then Jalen and Malik are allowed to play through some unacceptable mistakes. You know, you know what I'm saying? Like you, it's like. It's like there's that's a fine line, Steve. I know what you're saying.
Yeah, you get what I'm saying though. Yeah. I mean, neither word may be right. I just really hate saying somebody doesn't respect somebody because I think that could really
they don't fear his urgency in the game. You know what I'm saying? Like that's what I think. I think they don't feel like they're gonna get killed or like listen, we make jokes about it. It's I'm sorry you have to get a Rick Pitino comparison, but here's the thing. The I will kill you if you do that again. You know what I'm saying? Even Coach Crum, who does not curse, made you feel like he was gonna kill you because you knew you were coming out. Steve, I'm gonna show you a clip that I recorded this is what I did, Steve. In the game, in that North Carolina game, y'all can go back and watch it. I missed a shot, you know, up close at the rim, right?
Yeah.
You know, I should have hit it. You know, I was pissed that I missed that layup. You know, it was kind of an athletic play. but here's the thing. I got a possession. I got a look. About two plays later, and it was a clean look, and I didn't want to I knew I just missed a shot, and I just didn't want to shoot that back-to-back three, you know, shot and miss it. You know what I'm saying? But I shot it anyway, and I just tried to do all my form and everything the coach taught me, and I barely missed it, and I was like, ah, you know what I'm saying? I screamed, right? Coach calls a timeout. He is screaming at me. You can see his blood red in his face. You want to know what he's screaming at me about?
I'm listening.
Jumping up high when I shoot a three-pointer. He says, Marcus, you don't make set shots. And I'm going to show you this clip. I'm going to post it. You're going to see the way he's screaming at me. And you're going to be able to read his lips say, you don't make set shots. And you're going to see the way he's yelling at me. And you're going to be like, Jesus. You know what I'm saying? Like, so it's like 100% confirmable what I'm saying. He's screaming at me that hard. That's just a wide open three-pointer that I didn't use my legs enough. That's my albatross. You're coming to the bench, you know, like, it's Carolina. So, look, Coach knew some games I can't buck like that. But
right.
Look, Marcus, I really want to bench you, but you're doing a pretty good job, but you know, I will bench you for that, right? Like you're gonna be amazed when I show you this clip, Steve. Like I say, it's gonna take a half a second for you to see exactly what I'm talking about. But that, like I say, and Coach Crum's not a screamer, not a yeller, but the standards got to be set and apply heavier hands. You know, and again, today's conversation goes around Malik and Jalen because they have some of the worst habits, the dribbling habits, dribbling too much. You know, we watch Malik post up. You can't dribble seven times in the college game with your back to the basket. That's just impossible. There's not enough space to do that. You're not good enough passer to do that. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
It's not the league. So the habit things, it's like, coach, you're going to have to get them a down screen motion. Okay, put it this way. On offense, they're going to need easy motions. You know what I'm saying? Not where you have to read what the next guy's going to do. Does that make sense? Like,
absolutely.
Like when you have a good group of guys that have played together for a long time, they kind of know what each other's going to do.
Yeah,
the North Carolina game that we laugh about that Scotty was just talking about. We played together long enough to know pretty much what each other's going to do. I know you get ready to shoot that. You know, look, I know you like to shoot the ball. I know you getting ready to shoot that. So I can start going to box out or, you know, go get an offensive rebound or something. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, that's just some of the things that were just on the surface, you have to address these things right now. You have to address it right now. But here's the problem. That's an instant injection of adrenaline. When he gets in his press conference and keeps his word and says, like, Steve, you heard the way everybody reacted when he said he's going to start playing Roosevelt Wheeler.
Yeah.
The whole world got off his back. Like, yes, 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 yes. You got to start playing your guys. Again, I said there wasn't enough separation between who's playing good and who's being playing bad to justify not playing these guys. This would get an instant shot of adrenaline. And listen, if it doesn't go well, your guys are getting to play better. They're learning. And if it goes great, it goes great. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
But you're going to need those guys to make any kind of ACC tournament run, late season tournament run. Malik, Jalen, Sam, Jared West, just by themselves in a seven-man rotation, you're going to get the same results on the floor. I got it. Listen, Tick Rogers, text message. We got benched for not using the backboard. The backboard, Steve.
Yeah.
Like, you have to.
The shot went in. Bench for the shot going in.
Like, we're going to learn these rules early. So later on, if you do hit a shot straight in, you can kind of, look, you can earn the right to give me that little side eye, Marcus. You know what I'm saying? Like, you notice how all my little deep three-pointers, I bet if you went back and looked at all the deepest three-pointers ever shot by Louisville players, they all come from upperclassmen.
Yeah.
Because it took you 3 years of coach telling you what a good shot is. You know what I'm saying? But you knew as a freshman what a good shot is. So anyway, sorry about that. Who we got online? Frank, thanks for joining us on 93.9. Fire away.
First of all, thanks again for taking my call. And this basically solidifies what I spoke about Friday. This team needs to go to the Wizard of Oz and get a heart. I mean, and I'm not trying to be overly critical, but in my almost 50 years of fandom, going back to the 70s, as the previous caller said, I've never seen a 6'10 individual, at least from the University of Louisville, miss two dunks. And I've never, ever, I don't care how bad.
Oh, no.
This team, I mean, you thought the NC State game was painful to watch, but this past Saturday was absolutely horrific to watch. So with that being said, I'm going to tell maybe three stories real quick. Two on Coach Crum and then one with Coach Patino. Marcus, you're right. Coach Crum does not cuss, but one thing I've seen that I think, in my opinion, that he was really close to cursing, and I think, did you play with Quentin Bailey?
I did.
Okay, and it was when we was in the NCAA tournament, and speaking of not using the backboard, I think Quentin went up for a layup, and I think we played Creighton that year. Quentin went up for a layup, missed the layup, lagged back on defense, and his guy ended up scoring. Coach Crum was already on the court as soon as the whistle blew, and I mean,
you might be done for a week. you miss a layup and don't use the backboard. You miss a layup not using the backboard and you lag on D. You might be done a week.
Right. I mean, and unfortunately we lost that game. But I think that next year Quentin was not on the team. And I'm not saying that was a direct result. But what I'm saying is that you know attitude reflects leadership. And you've seen the fire that you guys played under Coach Crum. And the same thing, I spoke with Charles Jones. And I think Charles had let his man get past him and dunk on him. And he said, Coach don't curse, but he will let you know. He has a way of letting you know if you're feeling like two centimeters big. To where when you didn't do your job, you was going to have the best seat in the house. That was right.
And he uses the bench as the great motivator.
And the last one, this was in Rick last year. Ryan McMahon did something. I mean, he had two defensive lapses. And I think I had my granddaughter with me at the game, and we had like third row tickets right behind the bench, and Ryan came out. He was making a few. I mean, basically just cursed him out. And then Ray Spalding went in the game, and Ray had a defensive lapse, and Kenny Johnson put his arm around Ray Spalding, and Ray said, "Get your arm from around him. Let him be a man. Sit down." And you don't come in until after you come back in. So my point is, with all of this, is I think you made a really good point when it came to the kids don't really fear of what, them going on the bench or whatever, because they have such a lackadaisical attitude, and it shows. And the only dogs that we have on this team is Curry, Cross, and Ellis. And you can get past the mistakes that Ellis makes, because at least he's trying. At least he's showing you some effort. Our big men, with the exception of Curry, have not. They've hit a wall, and I don't know what it's going to take. But we are the doctors of freaking dunk. We're the doctors of dunk. You punch that ball. If you are 3 feet and closer to the rim, you punch the ball in. And if anybody tries to block it, you break their hand. Period. Our teams have always been the doctors of dunk. So thanks again for taking my call, and hopefully it'll get better as the season progresses. If not, I don't know. I don't know what to say. So you guys take care.
No, I appreciate the call. Here's the thing. Let me kind of address the Pittsburgh conversation, because again, this is my job to differentiate kind of like cliche phrases and like that's why I know Steve was careful about saying the respect word. Because in these sports, the relationship between the coaches and the players, like, that's a dangerous word to use. Just like when you talk about words like gave up, quit, soft, you have to be careful with these words. I like to individually make plays soft, but not players soft. Or I make plays, boneheaded or lack of hustle, not put it on the person. But here's the thing. And I'll tell everybody kind of how it happened. Sleep was off, whatever. I was kind of in and out of sleep for the Pittsburgh game. I talked to Steve at the very end of it. Steve was distraught, demoralized. I missed too much of the game, right? So I had to go back and watch the game after I talked to Steve, right? The way Steve was sounding, it was just a total pathetic performance and whatever, right? And we just got crushed the whole time. So I went back, and when I watched it, I'm thinking of this, and I'm watching us play, and the game's pretty close, and it's nipping, it's nip and tuck, and, I'm just seeing some things, and I'm watching, I'm getting angry, but then I'm like, okay, I'm kind of like waiting for this overwhelming, meltdown, And by the end of that game, you know what I realized? And a lot of this might not make a lot of people happy. Because that game happened after the Florida State and the NC State game, where if you remember, we needed Matt Cross to hit a couple of shots of wide open looks and we win the other game, right? Would you agree with that, Steve?
What, the NC State game?
Yes.
Yeah.
You remember we left that game saying, Matt, you got it. Or was that the Florida State game where we needed Matt to hit a couple of shots?
Florida State. It was Florida State.
Okay,
yeah,
okay,
he
Florida
was in
State.
The corner. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we had.
Hey, guys, Nicky V here. It's
what's going on?
I think Nick's freaking out, man.
We had a couple of looks. Can you hear me over there?
Oh, yeah. No. Oh, yeah. We're good. Yeah.
Okay. We had a couple of looks to beat Florida State. So that happens, right?
Yep.
Then you have your North Carolina State game, which I think was kind of more of a disappointing performance. But then you get this Pittsburgh situation. Problem with this one is Rick would have lost this game. Coach Crum would have lost this game. I think Pitt. They were psychos for you. Pitt wanted this game. It is not impossible to go get ran. It, like, certain games, I would say the coach didn't have them right. You know, This game, the speed, the tempo that they were cutting, them trying to get to the basket, they came ready to play. They got busted against Pittsburgh. Now, listen, there's some mistakes. There's some substitution pattern mistakes. You didn't have your Sidney Curry right after you planned on using him. But this game, I just think Pittsburgh was just absolutely ready for you in this game. I think they were ready. And look, we tried to go 1-3-1. We tried to change the whole, the matchup, keeping it outside. Tactically, I would have said, Coach, we have to front that guy, and we shouldn't have to front that guy. We should be able to move him off the block. He shouldn't have had such a field day like that. But I just think overall, the Pittsburgh game was not a representation of quitting. I think they came ready to play for that one. But like I said, the Roosevelt Wheeler mistake, I say, Coach, that comes from you not putting him in games more. Early.
Yeah,
on.
Absolutely. No, yeah. I totally agree.
So does it make my sense? Like what I'm saying? Like, it's not just, you can't just put all three of these games together and say the team just sucks. Just is not playing.
Yeah, but you still.
Big picture importance.
Yeah, double digit loss.
Oh, there, yeah. I'm saying, they're bad. And remember what we said the first time with Pitt? When they came to Louisville, we said they lost like four or five games by less than a point or, 2 points. So, their analytic, their KenPom analytic takes a hit, because you don't get credit for losing by 1 point in those analytics. But, you say, okay, I think the team just got, they were ready for you. They just, their big man was ready to go at Malik. Ooh. And I think Malik got exposed to.
Yeah, you just can't couple that with everything else. And that's kind of with the what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, but when you do, yeah, I know, but when you do them in a row, it's like, yeah. I'm not making an excuse for him. I'm just saying with my basketball eyes, I say, okay, y'all fix some things, but you got weaker in some other other areas. So sports. That part's sports.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it's like, yes, in theory there is that, but it's like, yeah, this is the third game in a row, man. So you got beat. Pitt's a 6-win team. Like, Pitt, you're now 112th. KenPom hates you. Everyone, but I know what you're saying. I mean, hey, if you had won, if you had beaten Florida State and you had beaten NC State, and then Pitt gets you here. I can live with that. I can say, Pitt, you just played them less than 10 days ago. You beat them, but you didn't. That's like, I keep going back to that. Somebody tweeted me. It was like, if Matt Cross had hit those shots, you wouldn't even be saying anything. Yeah, I know.
But when you couple them, when you couple them with three games,
but he didn't, and we lost.
And you're like, but it shouldn't have came down to Matt Cross hitting those threes.
Always. That's always where I'm going to go back to. So, it does feel like, okay, now I know we got to get ready and take a break.
Yep.
When we come back, let me ask you a question that you are going to hate. You're going to hate the question.
Oh, God, I look forward to that.
I'm telling you ahead of time. Yeah, you're going to hate the question.
Quick commercial break. Middays with Marcus Maben on 939 The Ville.
I like to move it.
Gets me the days with Marcus Maven. 8150-939 is the number. 93.9 is the station. Before you ask me a question, Steve, let me ask you a question. Why were you playing with that Jack in a Box in the middle of the segment?
It was awesome. Nikki V thought he was like in a horror movie. Like he didn't know where this sound was coming from. So he was like,
You were twisting the Jack in a Box sound and freaking him out.
Yes.
And yeah, like, I thought there was like a music box, or I was like, is Maven doing the show from, like, he realizes there's a ghost there, right? Like, I wanted to yell, like, you know, Maven, look, watch out behind you. I've seen these movies. People of your delegation don't last long.
This is it.
And so, just so you know that you're telling the truth, Nikki, I always do my show with my back to the wall. I never expose my back. I didn't do it. I didn't do it when I was young. Maybe it was the horror movies that and say, yeah, Marcus, just don't let anybody sneak up behind you. Okay. Well, yeah, Nikki, now you know what the
Yeah, it took him a second, yeah, but it was like, then it was...
You played that so cool. I was like, Steve, I think there's like a music box or something. You were like, weird.
I know. I was like, man, it's crazy, dude.
I knew exactly what it was. I didn't want to lose my train of thought, but I was going to say, Steve, stop turning that damn Jack in a Box. Okay, awesome. Steve, I'm listening.
Okay. I know you're going to hate this, but I have to ask it.
Woosa.
Because Jeff Greer kind of brought it up this morning. Do you, if you're Louisville and Chris Mack right now, we know what the conversation is about level twos.
Oh, yes.
We don't want level twos, though. Like, that's not a good thing. When I hear people say things like, well, let's just hope for these level twos, and then we can... It's like, no, you know those level twos are going to piggyback onto another case, right, that are going to really kick you between legs, you know, like that. That's not what we want here.
And don't forget about 1957.
Yeah, and God forbid, don't forget about the trouble we got in back in the 50s.
You know they put that back on this one too, right?
Yes, absolutely. That's what I'm saying. So it's like, if you're Chris Mack, are you kind of right now saying, let's make a deal? Let's make a deal. You give me so much. Let me go ahead and step out of here. So I guess what I'm asking you is, how do you handle that on the university side and on Chris Mack's side?
Chris Mack cannot afford to fail right now. What I'm saying is, he cannot negotiate any kind of settlement. This is me talking from Coach Mack's point of view. Everybody sees he has some talented players. Everybody sees the job he's doing. It can't end like this for him. It cannot.
Yeah.
If you're the school, you have all the leverage. The school can do exactly what it wants to do in this situation. This violation, this last, you know, level two conversation, it gave the university basically every out it needs. They can ask him to step down and walk away from it the moment the sanctions come out. Actually, even if it's not a level two, Steve, they can come to him and just say, we've watched a savagery happen like this before. Hey, just, you know, with the violations and everything else that's been going on, we should just part ways with no extra payment. We saw coaches who knew they were getting ran out have problems. So, are you asking me, should the university?
I guess I'm asking that. Could they or should they? Because, see, I think there's something here to this, too. if you're Chris Mack, I mean, you're risking, and I think this is a real scenario that's being talked about. I mean, it's something kind of been out there a little bit. Jeff Greer mentioned it, you know, now publicly, so now it has to be talked about. If you're Chris Mack, though, I think you really have to think about this, though, because you're sitting
there. Think about voluntarily stepping down or just negotiating separate ways.
Yeah, negotiating. No, you're not just voluntarily stepping down. I'm saying negotiating a mutual split, you know, like, okay, because.
But here's the problem.
You're risking not getting a dime.
Oh, so you're doing the gambling. What do they call it? Cashing out, like. What do you do? Hedging?
Because if you're Chris Mack, I mean, listen, man, you're risking not getting a penny. You don't have a ton of friends up here, especially at the university right now. So it's like, do you say, hey, man, let's work on and move on?
But the reason I'm saying this is if he still wants to coach at a big time level, it's gonna look like he couldn't handle this, which means you're done. You know what I'm saying? If you just negotiate your way out and said it's just not working out between us, let's just, you know, and our school has to pay you, you know, part of your remaining thing, you know, you just did that after you got a violation. That means you went to a program that was already in trouble. You got in trouble. You weren't winning, and then they had to, you know, buy you out of there, like. It's going to be difficult for him to work in at the.
You know, but I heard Drew say this morning, and I do agree. You know, Mack has a pretty good sale, though. Mack can, because at that point, Mack has no loyalty to the university, nor should he. I mean, Mack can go there and say, dude, it was a mess there. I mean, I got extorted. I was dealing with stuff that was previous. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, the whole time I was here, it was a mess. Like, I think his agent has a pretty good sell to another Power 5 team. Like that could sell. Like, man, he did have a lot of crap going on there, you know? Where it's
what I do agree with, okay, if he spends it the right way, it can be done. This is high-stakes poker, like what you say. And here's the problem. Here's where I totally agree with you, because I can sell that to myself, that how good of a coach he is.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? As far as he's unorthodox, he does not coach the traditional way, but being non-traditional is why you go tear up Michigan State and Michigan and, you know, Duke, and, you know, being that you don't do things fundamentally sound, you know, that makes you awkward.
Yeah,
you are a southpaw, you know.
Yeah, but,
yeah, it doesn't make you like.
But if you're Coach Mack, but I mean, if you're Coach Mack, also like, and I know we hate to think about this, but I think if you're Coach Mack, you're also like, well, you know what? That gives me getting a jump on a job. I've got a good relationship with these guys I have committed right now. You know, like maybe I can pull them somewhere. I mean, and. You know, you get what I'm saying? I think there's some value there to him saying, let's go ahead and mutually part ways here in February or something. And with Louisville, it lets Louisville shoot that, even though Nikki V thinks this is the worst job in America, like it allows Louisville to shoot that beacon out there that the Louisville basketball job is open.
Maybe the Louisville side of me says, you look like 10 times more of a mess if that happens.
More of a mess than what we look right now?
I mean, 2 weeks ago we were 4-0 in conference.
Right.
but like I said, okay, you're saying you had a bad 10 days?
To say the least.
And Steve, you know how I am. Like, I'm still saying the sports side of me says you can fix it. But listen, I know what you're saying.
Yeah, you can't fix this, though.
I don't agree, but I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
It's a tough sell. It's a tough sell. It's a tough job. Like I said, you can do that. I think
impossible is the word you're looking for.
The Louisville side of me says this makes the whole university look like a bigger mess. Do you agree with that?
I mean, I guess, but I don't know. I mean, does it? So you saying just wait till after the season? Or are you saying fire him when you get a level two violation? Because I don't think that's going to make it. I mean, I'm asking. I'm not being sarcastic with that.
Yeah, I know.
I don't know that that's going to make you look any better. Like, Louisville fires coach after level two violations. You know, like, oh, okay.
I don't know.
I don't know that there's a. I don't know that there's a good outcome though.
Right. Right. Like, yeah. I don't have a good outcome for that question.
Yeah, I know. That's kind of the tough part about that.
Yeah. Like I said, that's going to make the school look bad. Like I say, if it's a level two firing, but I think that'll still look more like him than the school, but it's still gonna look bad on school either way.
Mm-hmm.
So
well, it'd be interesting. It's something to keep an eye on, though. Like I said, it's now been put out there publicly, so it's something that's.
Listen, and here's the other thing, Steve. Just to, like, I want you to know what I'm thinking as you're asking the question, because I don't want my silence to be.
Yeah.
What I'm still saying this in my brain. Go use your depth right now in this basketball team.
Mm-hmm.
Go use your depth. You got some athletes down there on the end of that bench. You go on a late season run. The attitudes will change. Just like I said, as bad as a year Coach Satterfield was having, you finish strong. Everybody's comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
That said, I mean, I agree with you, Marcus, from, you know, Temple of Let the Cake Bake. I mean, but for them to make the tournament right now, I mean, the best option is for them to win the ACC, right? I mean.
Oh, yeah. What I'm saying is
14 was the number, and I don't know if they're going
to. It has to look like different basketball.
True.
Tomorrow. You have to start playing all your players tomorrow. But like I say, when Steve says impossible, that means you're saying it's impossible that Mac, that Coach Mac understands that how bad you need to play your team.
Yeah, just roll with it. I know.
Yeah. Listen, unless you do that, like, yeah, it's going to be ugly for everybody.
Oh, just nasty conversations. And,
I know.
And yes.
You picked the perfect time to have that conversation, too. Thank you, Steve.
But thank goodness.
Between Nikki's 8-bit Millentonies.
Do we have a Millentone Monday winner, by the way? Tomorrow, I'm excited. Going there for dinner and picking up the gift cards.
Really?
So, yes. So if we don't have one today, we can do it tomorrow.
No,
it'll just be our Millentone Monday
actually,
winner.
Actually, we do, because I read this one earlier and I laughed.
Okay, what is
says
it?
The 2022 version, butt meets bench, player meets transfer portal.
That's fair.
Ass meets bench. Bench retains ass.
All right, message that guy if you don't mind, because I don't have access to it on my phone.
Okay, absolutely.
Yeah, just tell them to email me, and I'll get them straight away.
Is everybody just going to live in fear of the transfer portal for like from now to eternity?
Well, no,
because somebody brought it up earlier, and I'm just like, yeah, like you and I had this conversation this weekend, Steve. Every kid is now gonna threaten to go to the transfer portal if he doesn't play on every team.
Yeah, well, yeah, but the thing is I need to be bringing in players. Who it's like, yeah, I don't care.
New staff.
Yeah. Like, or whoever, you know, whatever. But anyways, well, luckily, at least I didn't have to talk about the Cowboys a bunch today, so that was fun. We will bring up tomorrow, Coach Satterfield has made some good hires, and I think we need to talk about that. We didn't get to today for obvious reasons, but we have time. And tomorrow, I think we'll bring that up at least.
It's going to be easier for you to rag on him now because you're getting more things positive to say. You know what I'm saying? That 3-1 ratio is going to be.
Oh, I can knock
that's
it
a
out
great
now.
Point.
That's a good point, Nick. It's very positive. So, yeah. So, anyways, it's good times, man. So. All right, well, anyway.
That was such a depressing conversation.
We got a Kentucky hoodie coming here interrupting Nick. What's this all about?
It's the intern.
An intern's in there with a Kentucky hoodie on?
He came from across the hallway.
Yeah, it's not our intern. It's theirs.
Later.
It's one of them.
Later.
All right, Midday's with Marcus Maven on 93.9 The Ville.
Never told me about the Benz.
Are you ready for a job that gets you more? UPS is hiring now. As a warehouse worker, you'll earn up to $21 per hour, and you might even be eligible for a program that helps you with thousands of dollars for college, in many cases, tuition free. Search and apply now at upsjobsky.com.
Card Nation, this is attorney Alex White with SueDistractedDriver.com. Our law firm is a team of dedicated attorneys ready to fight for you. If you get injured because of someone else's negligence, their insurance company already has a legal team, and now so do you. If you or a friend or loved one are injured, find your attorney at SueDistractedDriver.com.
This is an advertisement.